It started in India with the Kalvelia people. As they are nomad people, they expand, no, like to North Africa and to Europe.
Hello everyone, you're listening to the Belladance Live podcast. I'm your host Jana Komarnitska and I'm thrilled to share a new portion of dance inspiration with you. If you are a new listener, welcome to the show. Don't forget to subscribe and receive automatic updates about our new episodes. And if you are our regular listener, welcome back. Please leave your reviews on whichever app you're listening. They really help me promote the show and spread awareness about Belladance art form. Plus, I really like hearing back from you. On this note, let's get to our today's episode. Embark on a journey of passion and possibility with Jelena and Belladance Evolution. Join them in creating magic as part of the Jungle Book cast or immerse yourself in growth through the BDE Experience Intensive. Let BDE guide you to your fullest potential. Your dreams are within reach. Details are available at joinbde.com. It's joinbde.com. Link in the show notes. Our today's guest will take you on a journey across the world. Izel Kirana started her dance journey almost 15 years ago. Originally from Barcelona, she fell in love with ballet dance, tribal fusion style, and eventually Indian culture and art. 5 years ago, she embarked on multiple journeys to India in search of its classical dances and folklore, training in Rajasthani folklore dance, Kalbelia dance, Kathak dance, and Indian fusion. In our today's episode, we will talk about how Izel discovered tribal fusion and eventually Kalbelia dance style. We will talk about what is or where originated Kalbelia dance style and how it has historical influences across the world. We also talk about Izel's personal experience of visiting India and taking classes with local teachers, her approach to fusion between different dance forms, and her way of supporting Kalbelia community by running a clothing and jewelry store that you probably will want to check out. So all this and more as usual in our episode of the Belladance Live podcast. I hope you will like it. Don't forget to screenshot and share with your friend afterwards. Tag me, tag our guest. That's the best way to support this project and show your appreciation for our guests and their time and their willingness to share their experience and their knowledge with you. Hello, dear Izel. I'm so excited. Welcome to the Belladance Live podcast.
Thank you very much.
I would love to start our conversation how typically I start. Let's start from the very, very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
How did dance enter your life? And what was the first dance style that you were introduced to?
I started dance like 13 years ago. And in my childhood, of course, I did like a lot of dance, typical like ballet and some others. But with 18 years old, I noticed about belly dance, and belly dance was like my first serious form of dance. I started most of us with belly dancing like 10 years ago, more or less. And after tribal belly dance, I discovered tribal belly dance, watching YouTube videos for some inspiration. So, yeah, I started like most of us with belly dance, but after playing playlists on YouTube, I discovered tribal belly dance, and then it was definitely my style of dance.
Mm-hmm. And with belly dance, how did you discover it and why you got interested specifically in belly dance?
I fall in love with belly dance because kind of dance is like hypnotized me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and yeah, that movements, body movements, you know, that undulations, this is snake movements. So this was like definitely one of the things that I like most about belly dance. So I just think like, okay, I'm going to start.
Mm-hmm.
This was why I fall in love with this kind of dance. Also, you know, these old movies from belly dancers, like 50 movies, like vintage movies about belly dance, Salome. So it
Stylized,
was like
stylized.
this. Yeah. Then after it came tribal fusion, and after Rajasthani dance, Kalbelia dance.
So, talking about this transition, so you start first with ballet dance, like what we would call traditional ballet dance, and then you transitioned into tribal ballet dance. What did you feel as the main difference between ballet dance and what we call tribal ballet dance, tribal fusion? Specifically, what caught your attention and what attracted you more in tribal fusion that maybe you didn't find that in ballet dance, in traditional ballet dance?
Yeah, traditional belly dance, it was like more, more happy, more like more joy. Then I found in tribal fusion that slow movements, that snake movements, that transitions, that accents with the rhythm also. So yeah, for me, tribal fusion gave me like this kind of thing, no? Like this is slow undulations, slow movements, snake movements, no? After in tribal fusion, I discovered Kolina Shakti, and definitely when I saw Kolina Shakti fusion, no, using this kind of fusion between classical belly dance, but with some Indian dance nuances, this was definitely the. I was thinking like, wow, this is the fusion I like, I want to do. Because I'm also a very big lover of Indian classical and folk dances. And when I discovered Polina, I was like, wow, this is the fusion I want to learn.
And how about your training in Indian dance styles? Did it come specifically from inspiration from Kolina Shakti, or did you start your training, your extensive training in Indian styles before that?
It came first with Polina because I discovered her on YouTube. So after I decided to learn more about this kind of dances, then I discovered Indian classical dance, Odissi. So I start classes here in Barcelona, and after that, I discovered also folk dance, Indian folk dance, Kalbelia dance. When I discovered Kalbelia dance, it was like, okay, in which place I can learn this kind of dance? Because actually here in Barcelona, where I live, there are no classes, no teachers teaching this kind of dance. So this was the first time that I decided to go to India, go to Rajasthan to learn this kind of dance, gypsy dance. And then from that time, I start to go every year, then after I start with Kalbelia, after with Katak, and after also with Kolina. Last year I was learning with Kolina there in her school in Pushkar. But it was like, yeah, Kalbelia dance, I think it was like the big jump, no, for, okay, I need to go there to the roots to learn this kind of dance because actually here, it's like almost impossible.
Yeah, I feel like specifically Kalbelia dance, it's one of your big passion. You
Yeah.
already sound so enthusiastic talking about it. Actually, may I ask you to tell a little bit more about this dance style? Because I don't think it's that super known in general. Like, mostly when people think about Indian dances, they think about either Bollywood or Indian classical dance, like Kathak or Odissi or maybe Kathak. But I think that many ballet dancers would be actually interested in discovering more, although it's not exactly related to ballet dance, but it's a dance form that is very intriguing and interesting. And I think less, a little bit less known than other popular Indian dance styles. So, can you tell a little bit about Kalbelia dance? Like, I don't know what it is, where whatever comes to your mind, like, you think would be interesting to share because it's a very unique dance form.
Kalbelia dance is the traditional dance form from the Kalbelia tribe. Kalbelia tribe is like a community from Rajasthan. They are the gypsies of India. So Kalbelia dance is the art form of these people. So it's not like a dance form that it's based with yoga also. It has like a little bit yoga, but they dancers usually when they are dancing, they are like doing, they represent the movements of the cobra, because cobra is like a very important animal in this community, because it's they are like, the snake charmers of India, the famous snake charmers from India. So it's like a traditional dance form from this nomad community, and dancers usually what they do is representing the movements of the cobra. So they use like a with base, they have like a yoga base in this dance also you can find, but usually it's like movements with too much accents. Also they use too much hips.
I also know about some theories that basically there was a big migration of people from India to other regions of the world, and there are some similarities, like Kalbelia are sort of like origins of Romani and drum migrations. This is not a checked fact, but there are these theories. So some people take like they bring similarities between Kalbelia and flamenco, and even brought similarities between Egyptian Gawazi and Kalbelia, that maybe there are some historical connections about this routine.
No. In fact, there is a historical connection. There is one documentary in YouTube you can watch. It's called Lacho Drum. And in this documentary, they explain you the origin, the roots of the gypsy people from all around the world. And all it started in India with the Kalbelia people. As they are nomad people, they expand, no? Like to North Africa until Europe, no? So all gypsy dance forms, all gypsy communities, they have base with Kalbelia people.
I saw the movie. It's beautiful. If nobody ever saw it, I really highly recommend it. It's easy to find on YouTube. Just search Lacho Drum. It just I read and saw different opinions, like how historically like accurate. That's why I'm saying that there are theories that it's connected, but there are also theories, or maybe it's still different streams. That's why I was like, oh, I don't know how checked facts are, but it's definitely a fascinating movie and very inspiring. And it's also another reason for even validating dancers to kind of research a little bit more about Kalbelia, because, well, it may be all like very, very much connected. So
Everything is connected.
in your personal experience, because you had training in belly dance, when you start learning Kalbelia dance, did it help you? Or you had to relearn certain patterns, I don't know, body habits. You kind of had to switch. Okay, no, I'm doing belly dance now. No, now I'm doing Kalbelia dance. I need to, I don't know, maybe hands or posture was completely different. Or maybe there was some similarities that actually helped you to learn Kalbelia dance because you had previous belly dance training.
The thing was that the only movement that I, okay, with belly dance, I have this, but it was like the hip, it was okay, because Kalbelia women, they use too much the hips, so it was like not difficult for me. But after, the movements are very, very different. They dance with flow. They don't have technique. Okay, so technique they don't use, never for to teach or for to dance, they always improve. So the movements are in Kalbelia dance like more with more flow, It remember me like Spanish gypsy dance also. So the movements are very different. The only connection with belly dance, I think, it's the hips. Yeah, the hip work that they use. I think it's the most thing like connected to belly dance. But after, for example, arm movements and hand movements, it's totally different.
I see. What was the most surprising movement to learn in Cal Ballet and style? Maybe there was a movement that it looked simple when you just watch someone doing it, but when you try to do it, you find, oh, it's actually tricky and difficult. Did you have anything like that?
It's going to be like a stupid thing, but I think the hands,
Hands.
because they look, hands, yeah, it's simple, but hands. When you see Cal Velia dance, when they are dancing and with the hands movement, they look simple and they are beautiful. But when you try and to do the movement with the hands clean, soft, and beautiful, it takes time. And also spinnings. They like too much spinning and they do incredible spinnings in this dance. They can be like, I don't know, 10 minutes spinning too much fast. So I think also spinning was difficult. Difficult. Yeah.
I also know that Cal Ballet dance has a lot of different tricks inside the dance, like crazy back bends, picking up different objects besides. How big is it a part of actual dance, or is it something that it's kind of done as a show off? I don't know, maybe for internet videos or something like that.
I think so. I think it's a part of the dance tradition. Also, they have like too much flexibility on the body. They are like snakes. These women, I don't know, but they don't have any training. They born like this because I don't know that they are too much flexible. But yeah, I think that this kind of tricks is part of the of this dance form. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, they have like a very crazy tricks.
And how was your first trip to India to study Cal Ballet dance?
I think it was in 2018, 6 years ago.
Was it easy
Yeah.
to find someone like to teach, and was it easy actually to study this dance form in India back then?
Yeah, because actually in Pushkar, they are around Rajasthan. You can find them in Jaipur, Jaisalmer, Udaipur. But in Pushkar already, there are a lot of Kalbelia community there. So you can easily find them in the market side and yeah, on around Pushkar, no? So I get in touch with Raki. It was my first teacher. It was also Colina teacher. And then I found her and I sent her message and I start my Calvelia formation with her in her home and everything started there.
And now, like when you go to India, because I know you regularly go visit India, but do you go to specifically study with a teacher who you find in advance, or you kind of come there and try maybe to find someone new, or just come back to the same teachers? Like, how, and also I'm curious, someone specifically from Cal Ballet community, how easy is the like studying slash teaching process, like taking classes there, because it's probably not something that they do inside their community. It's probably like children watch adults, that's how they learn the dance. But here
Exactly.
comes, let's say, foreigners, and they don't have any experience, let's say, or movement, like memory of seeing those movements again and again and again. Or maybe some, like in your case, you already have some, but still, like It's a different experience. It's even for them to actually teach in this dance style. So, how easy or difficult is this process specifically?
Yeah, anytime I go there, I try always to do classes with different dancers because every dancer has her own style of Calvelia, you know? For example, I'm taking actually classes with three girls, Sunita, Moria, and Rajuri. But each dancer, it has different Calvelia styles, so it's good, no? Because I try different teachers to know like different styles inside of Calvelia. And yeah, about classes, it's crazy because for example, they don't have any methodology, you know, to give class. It's like you just follow me and you have to catch the steps. You have to catch the step because they don't have any methodology to give class, no? Like for example, here in Europe that we use like our methodology, you know, step by step for giving class. They don't have anything about this. It's like you go, usually you can meet them in their homes, for example, or maybe they come to your guest house, to your hotel. So the class is like this. It's like you just follow me, and then with the time, you catch. You have to catch the steps.
Thinking about your very first trip to India to study Kalbali dance, what was the most surprising maybe moment, maybe discovery? Because we never can predict what will happen on those kind of trips. So maybe something happened that you really didn't expect. And something that maybe now comes to your mind is that, oh, that was the most surprising, interesting moment of the trip that you did not expect in advance.
Oh, I don't know. But about Calvelia or India in general?
It can be in general. It can be something related specifically to your dance training in Kalbala style, but it can be something else because when we go to a specific country to learn, it's not only about movements, it's also learning process happens every day, even in day-to-day life. So if something comes up like on other notes, not specifically like directly dance related, that's cool too.
I think that in general, it was like the patience. You work too much on the patience, even for classes, but there in India, you work too much your patience. I think it was like one of the things that, you know, it surprised me because we came from Europe. It's totally different, no? We have like our culture, everything is different. But yeah, I think it could be how much you work your patient there because they don't have timing, any timing for anything. So we came from, no, for times, schedules, but there is nothing. They don't have anything, you know, they don't have timing. So you need to work too much your patients and sometimes it's hard.
Ah, you mean like the patience with logistics of lifestyle? So it's more like dropping the expectations of, I guess, how
Yeah.
people have the day-to-day like lifestyle and
Yeah.
approach to time and life, etc. When
Exactly.
you go into India and taking dance classes, how's the logistics, I guess, of the study you usually put to study process? Is it like, I don't know, daily classes? Is it like the full day class? Especially if you're talking about going on your own, like I'm not talking about attending event or attending a group or I don't know classes or something like that, but when you go to study with a teacher, is there any kind of typical like structure expectations? I'm even curious from the point of view of teacher, do they expect like, okay, 1 hour or more or less 1 hour and then get out of here, or is it like more complete training and no full day experience. How is it in this sense, especially when we talk about these different approaches to logistics and time and patience with time? How does it usually work?
Well, you meet, for example, the day before, and you send message to each other like tomorrow at this time, for example, 11 on the morning, we meet in this place. So they usually fix like classes usually are like 1 hour and a half, but it depends also on the student if he wants more or. Yeah, sometimes the problem it can be that the next day when you are meeting for your dance class, they arrive 2 hours later. So you have to postpone all your plans after. You know, that's why you need to work the patience because all the time things happen in India. Usually you meet, maybe they invite you to their home for the class or usually, for example, in my case, my teacher come to my guest house, to my hotel, then on the rooftop we take the class, no? And usually it's like 1 hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever you want to pay. And yeah, no, and after the husband comes for the dancer and they go.
I see, I see. Coming
Yeah,
back
exactly.
to your other passion of fusion ballet dance, fusion, tribal fusion, but I know that you also like to mix different elements. So when you are working on a fusion piece, either choreography or improvisation, do you tend to mix elements of belly dance with the classical Indian styles, or you also have experience of mixing belly dance movements with kalbelly dance movements?
When I do fusion, I like to fusion to mix with. I like Indian classical and folk dances, nuances. But I like too much, you know, to mix with mudras, some little bangas, padas, you know, like traditional positions from Odissi dance. I try to do it the less possible because I learned that this Odissi dance, for example, is like very, very sacred for, you know, for the people, for the dancers who do Odissi dance. So I learned that it's not too much good. It's not I don't know how to explain you, but if you do the mix, if you do the fusion, you have to do it like conscious in a good way, you know?
Yes, of course.
So yeah, because yeah, for these people, or Indian classical dance, it's something with a religious sense, no? So it's like very, very sacred. So, and I try to when I do the mix, I try to do it like in a good way, respectful way. But I also like to mix with some kata poses. For example, Kathak turns and yeah, it's like a little bit of everything. But with Kalbelia, usually I don't do a mix. When I do Kalbelia, I do Kalbelia because I think that the movements they are like very different to put in the fusion I like. But when I do, for example, Rajasthani dance, then in that style, yeah, I fusion maybe a little more with Kalbelia.
All right, it's another interesting topic, I guess, because Kalbelia, it is from Rajasthan, but I assume the
Yeah.
Rajasthan region of India has also other dance forms, not only Kalbelia dance forms.
Yeah, no. There are others. Yeah. Ghumar, for example, it's very similar to Kalbelia. Ghumar dance. It's very, 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 very similar, but it has like different movements, different style also. But it's very similar. because it came from the same place, so the roots are more or less the same.
And in Kalbelia style, that I completely don't know. Are we talking about, I don't know, generically speaking, like one dance style, or there are different dance styles within Kalbelia dance tradition?
Inside the Kalbelia, there are different dance styles. I mean, if you go to Rajasthan, it depends on the place you go to Rajasthan. For example, it's not the same, the Kalbelia that they dance in Udaipur, that the Kalbelia that they dance in Jaipur, or the Kalbelia that they dance in Jaisalmer. So different zone, the Kalbelia style is different, you know?
So it depends basically, I guess, on the community. Okay. I guess it's the same analogy like when we are talking about Gawazi dance style. Like everyone knows about Kariamazin, but it's one family tradition. It's not the entire definition of what Gawazi dances are like look like. So it's the same idea, I guess, in Kalbelia in Rajasthan. That's so interesting. When you go to India and then you take all classes with local teachers there, and then you come back to Barcelona, probably very overwhelmed with a lot of material. How do you process all that material? Maybe you have some tips that for dancers that the other dancers can apply whenever they have this experience of travel, or maybe even when they go, I don't know, to festivals and workshops. Maybe they don't need to travel to India, but they go to workshops and they feel overwhelmed, like, oh, it was so much information. Maybe you can share your experience, how you work and process with all that material, and maybe you have some tips that you can share with our listeners on that subject.
After when I come here, I try all that material I have in the I have learned. I try to write on a paper, no? Like for example, hips movements, or I separate different movements, for example, arm movements, leg movements, transitions. So I make like my own personal study to save these moments, to keep these movements on my mind, because it's too much material, too many movements, so you never know how to organize them, no? So when I'm in Spain, in home, I try to do this for okay, in this place, all these hand movements, leg movements, hip movements, transitions, spins, and I put names, little names, you know, for to organize my mind, and then after to keep practicing at home.
So it's a good tip to sort of write down all the, I don't know, new steps or things to practice, not only rely on combos or videos, but sort of like break it down in more details.
Because otherwise it's crazy.
Yeah. And you are a teacher yourself, and I know you are very actively teaching both online and in person in Spain. For you personally, do you find that your specialty is tribal fusion, or do you feel your specialty is more Indian, maybe Kalbelia dance, or you think that they are kind of both even equal in your teaching activities? What's your main priority? Not
I
priority, but
don't
focus
know.
maybe.
It was the tribal fusion, but you know, with the last years, I'm like, I think that I like to teach, that I prefer to teach, and I like was Kalbelia, you know, because it gives me, I don't know which the which thing give me this dance, but when I teach, I enjoy too much to teach Kalbelia. Also tribal fusion, but I don't know why these last years with Kalbelia, I'm falling in love for teaching.
And in your teaching, you follow the format how teachers in India do, like, follow, like, to have the same, to give the same experience as you have in India? Or do you incorporate certain, like, mythology or breaking down the
Yeah.
movements? How do you
No,
approach it in
yeah.
Spain?
I try to use or create a methodology because otherwise for the students it's more easy, no? It's easier. So I try when I'm going to give Cardelia workshop, I study on the workshop I want to give, focusing on different parts, but with the structures, So for example, first step works, I footwork, also handwork, and after, for example, we mix everything. We work on footwork, but with handwork, no? After, with methodology, because otherwise it's crazy. So I try to create a structure for class. Then also for students, it's easier.
And is there increasing interest in Calbelia classes in Spain, or do you feel that main interest in teaching comes from like international online space for you in your experience?
Actually, in Spain, not too much, not too much interest on Calbelia dance. I think, it's my personal opinion. I have seen that there are too much interest about this dance form in South America. In Mexico and Chile, there is too much interest about this dance, but in Spain already, no, not too much.
That's interesting, because it's quite fascinating topic and dance style, and it's interesting to see the geography of its, I don't know, interest or popularization. So thanks for sharing
Yeah.
reservations. I also know that you host some kind of online store, and you offer some items specifically tailored for dancers. Can you tell a little bit about that?
Most of the time when I'm there in India, I try to produce like items and little bit jewelry. So what I try to do with this with this shop is to help with the when some when the people buy to me things with all this money, part of this money, of course, I try to help to the Calvelia people from Rajasthan, for poor families from there, also to my teachers, because in Rajasthan, people, it's really the conditions of, I don't know how to explain you, but they are,
Even
of course, yeah, they are in a low cost, yeah. So I try to do with this, for me, it's like an extra money, no? But with part of this money, I send to families in Pakistan also for they can take the children to the school for food, family maintenance. So I try to put like little bit also help for all the families that or my teachers also that they have helped me too many times there in India. So I also bring jewelry, Calvelia jewelry that my teachers make. So yeah, when I bring Calvelia jewelry, I try to sell here in Spain like traditional Calvelia necklace, bells, and the money, all the money of this jewelry, I send back to the families.
Wow, that's a beautiful initiative. And what kind of items, like, do you mainly do with traditional jewelry, or there are some other items that dancers can expect to find in your shop?
For dancers, I have butterfly pants. It's like a, this kind of pants that they look like a skirt, big pants. It's similar to harem pants, but with elephant Yeah, they look like a skirt, and they are made in satin with gold and silver. I don't know the word in English. Pants for dancers, and also some tops and jewelry. Basically jewelry, but yeah, now I'm doing more clothing now. So yeah, especially skirts and pants that they give you like a very big capacity of movement when you are dancing, so they are too much comfortable.
Oh, nice. Good to know. And those items, are they appropriate specifically for like a dancing in Indian Kalbali style, or is it some items that people can use for their, I don't know, maybe training sessions, or items that maybe tribal fusion dancers can find appropriate to use for them? Or is it specifically very traditional that it's mostly like for Kalbali
No,
style?
they can use for dance practice or for dance performance. Yeah, yeah. The jewelry I have, it's like for the everyday, for the day a day. It's not like something special for dancing or
Performance.
yeah.
Well, good to know, because that's sounds like a very cool source of finding some very interesting, unusual treasures. But also the way to support your initiative and support the community in Rajasthan, Kalbele community in Rajasthan. So that's why I was very curious. So can you tell, please, our listeners where they can find your store? Is it anywhere like online, or is it like by messaging you and seeing what kind of items are available, or is it your Instagram page where they can find more information about what's actually they can purchase?
Yeah, I don't have website. It's like just you send me DM. I want to see this pants, or and then I send you all the models and colors available. Yeah, by DM.
And for your online classes, because I know you are not only teaching in person, you're also teaching online. So can you tell people what's available, and what's the format of your teaching, both in belly dance, so like tribal fusion, and Indian related dance styles, including Kalbelia?
Yeah, I have Patreon page. So there you have three possibilities. You have in one way fusion belly dance classes. They are like pre-record classes, and you can repeat them anytime you want, and you can do them anytime you want. After you have the Kalbelia classes also. They are videos pre-record. And you can use them and do them anytime you want. And after I have a pack that mix, that you have Kalbelia dance classes and fusion belly dance classes. So you can choose in one dance style or to have the both dance styles. So they are classes pre-record. Anytime you want, you can repeat the classes. And I put different classes every week there.
Oh, so there is a new class dropping every week. That's very, very cool. And
Yeah.
that's available on Patreon. So definitely will include links to your Patreon account in the show notes. And what's your favorite way of connecting with people in general? Is it or if they want to ask about shop, like, is it, should they message you, I don't know, on Instagram, on Facebook? What's your favorite social media? That the easiest way to connect with you?
usually I use more Instagram. Yeah, Instagram, definitely. Yeah, because Facebook, I don't know why they delete my account, my Facebook account. So Facebook I don't have anymore. So now I'm more active on Instagram. You can find me there always.
Oh, I see. Well, link to your Instagram will be also in the show notes. So for all our listeners, you can easily connect with our guest there. And I know you have some upcoming workshops in person sometimes,
Yes.
in Spain and other places, other countries around the world. So that's a good way to keep in mind and see what's going on. And I also want to ask you. So you kind of transitioned from belly dance, we were talking, then to tribal fusion, then you got really interested in Kalbelly dance. How do you see your development in the future? Like, I don't know, in the next maybe 5, 10 years, like, do you see that, oh, you found your main passion and that's it, and you will be diving deep into that? Or you feel that, oh, maybe there may be another progression, or not progression, but another sort of transition maybe into diving into something else and something new on the horizon.
I don't know. Actually, I'm dipping into Indian classical dance in Odissi dance. So I don't know because maybe here from 10 years after, I don't know what I'm doing. But yeah, I would like to keep progressing in this dance because without Kalbelia and classical folk dances, it's not possible my fusion, no? Also, I would like to keep practicing on belly dance or fusion belly dance with other teachers with different styles. But I don't know. Maybe now I would like to focus on Odissi dance, Indian classical dance, because it's a long way, because very difficult. It will be like similar to European ballet, more or less.
Yeah.
So now I think that my focus is on this, of course, in fusion belly dance and Kalbelia, but maybe in 10 years, I don't know.
Yeah, of course. This
I
was a more like a funny question, just to know, like, oh, what's your feeling
don't
right now? And then we'll see in the
know.
future where it will go.
Who knows?
Yes. Well, I would like to, as a summary of our today's conversation, to ask you our traditional question of the podcast, but I would like to extend it. So it will be a double question. And I'm curious to know
Okay.
sort of answers to both of them, even to see if there are similarities or differences. But it's a double question. The first question is, what makes you fall in love with belly dance? Or tribal fusion belly dance, whichever form you're practicing right now. But what makes you fall in love is belly dance again and again. So you keep doing it for so many years. And what makes you fall in love is Kalbelia dance form again and again. So you keep doing and exploring it.
Okay, with belly dance, I think it's when you mean belly dance or fusion belly dance, the thing that I fall in love most with this, I think it's that you can play, no, in different, you can play with fusion belly dance. You can do, I don't know how to, but the slow movements, no, as I, what I told you before, the slow movements, the snake movements, no, that very, like, I don't know how to tell you in English. I told you already that my English is, but I think that fusion belly dance is this, that you can play anytime, no? You can do, for example, like more slow after you can play with the beat, with the rhythm, and you can do after more faster, too many accents, undulations, and I think that this really, really. And with Calvelia, I think the most thing I fall in love with Calvelia. I think that the joy with they dance, no? The joy. That's why I think that I love too much Kalbelia because for me this dance is like pure joy. when you are dancing, and I enjoy too much when I do this Calvelia dance. The joy, yeah.
This episode was brought to you by the Yana Dance Club, bringing more consistency and more fun into your dance training online. Check it out at yanadanceclub.com, direct link in the show notes. And before you leave, don't forget to screenshot this episode and share it with your friends, as well as leave a review on iTunes or any other app you're using to listen to the show. The more people know about this podcast, the easier it is for me to bring even more awesome guests. Until next time, keep shimmying and keep dancing.